I will confess I love a good storm. Any of you like to sit in your living room, look out the window, and see a big boomer come through? I love it. I love big old thunder clouds and the roll of thunder, lightning crashing, the wind blowing. I love a good storm. As long as I'm in my house. I'll tell you when I don't like a good storm. I don't like it when I'm driving. And not that it happens a lot in my life, but I really don't like it when I'm in a boat. When I was a teenager, I was up in Lake Chelan, Washington. My cousin and I decided it'd be a great thing to take this old janky canoe and jump in it and try to row across Lake Chelan. And it's no Sea of Galilee, but it's still like almost 2 miles wide. So we're like, this will be great. You know, we get in it, and we're both young and athletic, and we start charging out. And it's right on the edge of the Cascade Mountain Range. And all of a sudden, these dark clouds came right over the top of the rim, and they came down on top of the lake. And suddenly, what was a great idea was a very bad idea. And I remember we were about halfway across, decide we better turn around. And as we're coming back, it wasn't like the wind was coming in one direction. It was just choppy. And all of a sudden, the swells are getting big and the water's splashing. And soon, we're not talking. We're just very purposely like, this is really bad. And I remember that sense of just fear in my heart, thinking, this is the end. This is how I go to see the Lord, you know? In the middle of Lake Chelan, you know, you're just terrified, like, I don't know if we're going to make it. I don't know if we're going to make it. The difference is, I think, in storms, whether I'm driving or rowing, whatever, if I am responsible to keep us on the road, if the weight of staying afloat is on me, that is exhausting. Isn't that true in storms? Find a watch from a vantage point where you're safe, but be in the middle of them and not be sufficient for them. That is a highly different thing. I'm going to tell you something else. Guess who else likes storms? Your Savior. How many of you know that Jesus does a lot of discipleship training in boats in rough weather? This is the first time we get to see this in the Gospel of Matthew, but you go through all the Gospels, and whether it's the same narrative or different moments, Jesus has no problem taking disciples out into the midst of chaos and bringing them to places that are beyond their ability. In fact, this is part of the plan. How many of you know that it says in the book, consider it all joy, my brethren. You could put it this way. When God enters you into nautical discipleship, when the Lord takes you out on the lake and He takes you into swells that you can't handle, actually rejoice because God's doing something in that moment. That's very, very key and very, very important. When you think about trials, you guys, and what they do, I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He goes, trials teach us what we are. They dig up the soil and let us see what we are made out of. Jesus is calling us to follow Him. You all came with me, and I invited you when we started this series. We came down off the mountain where we heard the great sermon, and lately we have been watching Jesus be Jesus, and it's overwhelming. He can heal anyone. Amen? He has the power with a word to release somebody who's been in bondage and affliction. He is, and our mouths are open. And yet today, He looks at us and He says, follow me. Get in the boat. And we're going to talk about what you learn in a boat. And I'm going to walk through this story three times. The last one will be really abbreviated. And the first time through the story, we're going to ask the question, what do you learn about you in a boat? The second time, we're going to say, what do we learn about Jesus in a boat? And the final time is to say, what is the meta lesson that God, in no matter your uniqueness of your circumstances, whatever, what is the thing that He is trying to teach you in your journey of discipleship? Because it may be through a very different genre, but it is the exact same lesson for everybody who claims to be a follower of Christ. Y'all with me? All right, get on your rain gear. We're going to end it. So, look at Matthew chapter 8, and beginning in verse 23. And we ask the question, what do you learn about yourself in a boat? Well, we've been in Capernaum. Jesus has done this incredible healing that's gone on all night. The crowds are swelling as people are coming. And Jesus looks at them and He says, hey, let's go across the lake. How do you know that Jesus isn't in this for popularity? And He certainly could be, and He's unveiling who He is, but He tells His disciples, let's get in the boat. Let's go to the other side of the lake. And it says this, when He got into the boat, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with waves. But Jesus Himself was asleep. That's my favorite part of this story. Jesus was asleep. And they came to Him and woke Him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And He said to them, why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then He got up and He rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And the men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him? How many of you have heard this story before? How many of you have heard it hundreds of times? If you grew up going to Sunday school, this is staple Sunday school. This is one of the biggies in the trajectory of Sunday school. You always get to Jesus with His disciples in the boat. But here's some things you learn about yourself out in a boat in a storm. The first thing I want you to think about and consider, you have an untested faith. There are probably people in this room who've been believers for, man, maybe longer than I've been alive. Yeah. You've walked with Jesus a long time. And I'm saying this to you, and maybe you're sitting here in the room and you're a brand new believer. And you've heard that God's going to test your faith. But guess what? Both of you sitting in the room, you have areas of your faith that have not yet been tested. And Jesus is all about faith. But when He says to His disciples, follow Me, come with Me, this is such an interesting scene. I want to give you a little more depth to the background of this. Most of us, when we read this story, we think Jesus, one boat, 12 disciples. You think about like Mike when he had us stand up the other day. You got the right size in the boat, but here's where you're wrong. If you go to Mark 4, the indication is there were lots of little boats. Remember there was about 70 of these disciples? Like true followers of Christ? When Jesus says, come follow Me around the boat, think of like a little flotilla of boats heading out from Capernaum. Not everybody had Jesus in their boat. Now maybe a majority of the disciples, His 12, were there. You know, and He's got them in the boat, but there's this little group of boats, and they all get in the boats, and they kind of launch their little Jesus Navy, heads out, you know, from Capernaum. And I think this is really interesting. Did you know that this was not a shocking step of faith when Jesus said, follow Me? Why? Because let's say you and I grew up in the land of Galilee. How many of you know we're very familiar with boats? Even if you're not a fisherman, this is the livelihood of the entire community. The odds are you've grabbed a water taxi and gone across the lake a number of times. Doesn't matter if you're a scribe, a woodwork, it doesn't matter. Jesus says, let's get in a boat and go across the lake. You're not going, oh my, this is it. This is where discipleship begins. I'm getting in a boat. Most of you would be like Jesus saying, hey, jump in the minivan, we're going downtown. That is not the moment. Most of them were very familiar. And you've got fishermen in your boat. So getting in the boat, you know, it's a step of discipleship, but what is so interesting to me is why these people come to a point of being terrified. How many of you know that this whole scenario is not unknown to any of the disciples yet. It's known. You're in a boat. It's normal. It's your life. It's your world. You want to know what's really terrifying, gang? When what is known to you and what you are normally sufficient for and have held together for a good long time suddenly spins out of control. How many of you know the most severe trials are in areas you're supposed to be in charge of? It's not the storm of the unknown. It's not like getting on a ride you've never been on before where you're kind of psyching yourself up, like, this could be big. No, it's in the middle of your family and your health and your job and your normal. I have found the toughest times of growth in my spiritual life are when Jesus comes to me in the most personal areas and says, follow me. How about you? It's not the storm somewhere out there that's affecting somebody somewhere. You know? It's the one in the middle of your world where you suddenly find yourself untested. This is bigger than me. This is scary. I'm not sure what to do with this. Here's what happens. You have an untested faith, but what happens is when the storm comes, your faith can be pushed aside by fear. How many of you are honest this morning? Something happened that caused you to push the pause button on your following Jesus. Any of you had that happen? Where the trial came and you came to a sudden halt. You came to a place of uncertainty because the storm, and it's raging not far off. I think the storms in life, the trials in life that are really up close. Remember, you're in the boat. You're out in the lake. The consequences are very real. And so that's what's going on here. Just for a fun on what this storm must have been like. How many of you, if you're not familiar with the geography of Israel, you need to know where the Sea of Galilee is. At one end of it, you're going to find Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is over 9,000 feet tall. It's the tallest mountain in Israel. Now imagine a giant ski slope coming down towards this lake. The cold air of Mount Hermon comes flying down that mountain. Sea of Galilee is 600 feet below sea level. You're talking warm. So that water, that wind comes down and hits that water and hits that heat, which causes agitation, but it's so strong coming down from the top of the mountain that it plows across that lake. Well, if it could just plow across the lake, you'd just have straight line winds, you'd figure out a way to get around it. But that's not what happens. Because at the other end of the Sea of Galilee is a set of giant cliffs. They're massive. They totally took me. When we traveled there, I was shocked. I had no idea they even existed, and I'm staring at this wall, this huge cliff face. Well, guess what happens? That heat air bobsled hits that cliff and then shoots back across the lake, causing a tsunami hurricane of instability. How many of you want to be in the middle of the washing cycle? Well, guess what? They knew that. Their whole life, they've been watching this storm hit. And they've always found ways to survive it and navigate it, and they knew what to do in the middle of it. But suddenly, whatever the thing that hit is such a violent storm that the paid professionals in the boats believe they're going to die. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm in the room and the qualified professionals are like, that's a scary moment. You know? You don't want to sit in the doctor's room and they're like, well, what do we do? I have no idea. You know, when the doctor tells you, pray, you're like, ah! You know, what's going on? But that's what's happening here. When all the experts have done what they can and you're still in the scenario and there's nothing that can happen. That was what was going on in the storm. And here's what happens to our faith is that fear makes us forget, and the biggest thing that it makes us forget as Christians is we miss the one who is in the boat with us. And by miss it, I mean it's not that you don't know he's there. It's that your perception of what is going on immediately goes to, don't you love me? Don't you care that I'm going to die? We look, and these disciples, you just got to understand this. I feel like sometimes we just gloss over these things. Okay, we're in the middle of a hurricane. Y'all with me? We're in the middle of a hurricane. Let's say we're in the Jesus boat. We're there, and you're his disciples. And if anybody's trying to act like we know what we're doing, it's us. You know, there we are, Peter, James, John. And we're like, you know, we're doing all that we know. We're throwing out leader lines to the other places. You got to keep them slack or the storm might pull you all in. But you're trying to keep people together. You're exhausted from rowing, and you're looking there in the stern of the boat, and he's asleep. Well, if there's other boats, there's other guys shouting at you. Hey, don't you think we ought to turn back? Yeah, it's probably a good idea. What does the master say? I have no idea. Why? He's asleep. What? Seriously, you are like, he's what? Could you wake him up? We're trying. He's really tired. I don't know how tired you are, but I've never slept through a hurricane. But Jesus is like, they literally are like, and this is where we go. When we cannot see the activity of God, or he seems checked out, if you want to use that terminology, is don't you care? And that is the problem with our faith. Is that when we turn to fear instead of faith, we misrepresent who's in the boat and why he's asleep in the first place. What should be giving us confidence freaks us out. How many of you know silence kills your heart in a trial? How many of you find yourself just praying, I just want to hear from the Lord. I just need some direction. God, tell me, show me something. Give us a diagnosis. Do something. Let me know you're there. And in the silence, we presume, do you even remember me, God? Do you see my hurt? Do you know my pain? And we never stop to think, he's taking a nap. God never sleeps, does he? Contraire, he does. That this is something bigger going on. There's a question being developed here that God wants to take us to. And the point is, even when they get him awake, there is one issue that is on Christ's mind. When they finally wake him up, don't you care, we're going to die? Verse 26, he said to them, why are you afraid, O you of what? Little faith. Meaning that the issue for God in storms is always our faith. But for us, we always view it through the lens of our fear and our worth. Don't I matter to you, God? Don't you love me, God? Why would you be silent at this point, oh God? But the whole point is, he's not somewhere else. How many of you know Jesus Christ is in your boat this morning? He's not somewhere else. He didn't leave you. He's just not responding in your timing, is he? You may have very good reasons, but it is where your gaze is and what gives confidence to you that matters. I can remember taking lots of trips, family vacations when we were kids, and there are moments on a good long, like 2-week family trip where you encounter storms or you encounter traffic things or you encounter something that is frightening and scary. And I can remember as a child, my immediate move would be, I just look at my dad. Look at your dad. Why? Because if he's still smiling, we're going to live. You know, if he's not panicked, I don't need to be panicked. The rebuke of Jesus when he wakes up is not for their lack of effort. He rebukes them for their fear in the face of his presence. Don't think that there is some miracle so powerful, friends, that it removes you from the journey of faith. They just watched Jesus the night before execute power in a way that had never been seen. Blind people saw, lame people walked, deaf people heard, demon-possessed people were set free. They had watched power unshackled. But never think that until you go home to glory, there's not one more trial out there that'll bend your head, okay? And never think that God is ever done growing you in your dependence upon Him. He is there. The storm that is going on in your life right now, as a believer, is there to grow your faith. It is all about your dependence upon Christ, your resting in Him, your confidence in Him. And dare I say, your usefulness to Him? You see, the world, which is broken all the time, how many of you know it's broken 24/7? We live with the illusion of having good days and bad days. The world is broken days. Sinful days, lost people, shattered stuff, run right now by the prince of the power of the air, who wants nothing more than a world isolated from each other and isolated from God. It's broken every day. And you know what God needs? He needs people who have faith to walk out their Christian life and to be standing in the middle of storms and still be useful to Jesus. And you know what? Some days I'm not. I'm scared. And I am calling out to heaven, do you even know me? Because if you did, you'd never do that to my kid. Because if you did, you wouldn't leave me here alone. Because if you did, like God, okay. And the whole point that God's getting to is like, I have not turned you loose without me. Don't miss the fact, people, that real faith happens. They came to a place, and it's the place God wants to get us to. I'm just telling you, He wants to get you there faster than you want to get there, of dependence. Amen. Like how many of you know that God is constantly shattering this idea that you've got this? And the longer that you hold on to you got this, is the longer it takes for you to turn to Him in the boat. How many of you know that we can generate an entire narrative about our God, and the truth is we just refuse to put down the oar? Like, no, I'm going to make it. I know what to do. I'm a fisherman. I've survived storms. Well, maybe not storms like this, but I think I know. We're going to die! Jesus, where are you? Help me. Lord, save us. That's faith. That is real faith. Jesus, you're the only one who can save me. That's true. Listen to this, friends. Little faith only runs to Christ after exhausting itself trying to manage the moment. It's not that you don't have faith. If you're here today, you came to salvation as a Christian. You came by faith. But little faith tries to manage everything and exhausts itself before it turns to Christ. That's what Jesus is growing in this whole season of your life, the storm you're in. He's bringing you away from you and He's bringing you to Him. So, rewind the story. Let's play it back. And let's find out, what do we learn about Jesus in this moment? I love it. This is something, I just take it to the bank. Jesus does not fear. Can I just say that to you right now? He's in your boat and He's not afraid. That needs to comfort us. He is so not afraid that He can take a nap in a hurricane. What you have in this moment is this perfect coming together of the humanity of Christ and the deity of Christ. in one moment. It's such a powerful moment. But he's not afraid. But this is what the truth is, that Jesus is never afraid, but don't think that that makes him impervious to us. How many of you know that Jesus feels? I love the fact that he's passed out in a boat. Scripture is not lying. Jesus isn't there with his eyes closed just going, I know it's going to take him another 10 minutes to get me up. If I'm reading Scripture correctly, Jesus doesn't even know he's in the middle of a storm. In his humanity, he was up maybe for 48 hours casting out demons and healing people. He is exhausted. So tired that he is sleeping like a 17-year-old. That you cannot get out of bed in the morning. Amen, parents? Anyway. He is so deep in because he's exhausted. There's this powerful picture of Jesus and just... Anybody glad Jesus gets tired? He knows what that feels like. How many of you have ever been so tired that you slept through what should have woke you up? You're just down. And so you learn about Jesus, that Jesus empathized. He is there fully experiencing everything in his humanity. He knows what it is to be tired. He knows what it is to be wet. He knows all of these things. But he doesn't experience them the way that we do. He experiences them with the confidence because he is not just Jesus the man. He is Jesus the Son of God. Amen? And there's a confidence here that should give us confidence. When I was in seminary, I remember taking a rather severely difficult exam. And in the middle of that exam, I was at this table and my buddy Spencer McCush is sitting one table up from me. And we're right in the beginning part of this exam, and you know how you just see something out of the corner of your eye? Spencer's sitting there, he's trying to take the exam, and he goes... And I'm thinking, oh, he's tired. Well, then he does something that we'll never forget. I watch him push his exam back, set his watch alarm, fold his arms, and go to sleep. He literally takes a nap. He snores. 10 minutes later, beep, beep, beep. Big stretch, grabs his exam, and just keeps going. That was the most boss academic move I have ever seen in my life. I was like, what kind of confidence do you have in the middle of the exam to go, I think I need some sleep. I'm just going to take a nap. I was like, what in the world? I love that man to this day. I'm like, that is so cool. Jesus sleeps in the most terrifying storms of our life. Amen. He has total control of the situation, even though in his humanity he is allowed to experience all of this. And what he is requiring of us, friends, look at 26. When he wakes up, Jesus asks this question, and he demands this growing faith. He asks the penetrating question. It's perplexing. He says, why are you afraid? Now, have you put yourself in some of these positions? Jesus looks up, a wave is crashing over his head, water is pouring down his face, and he looks up at you and he goes, why are you scared? How many of you, apart from wanting to be disrespectful, want to go, duh, we're going to die? In some of our moments, we feel like, how can you ask me that, God? How can you do that? Jesus is calling us in this moment to himself. This is everything that we know about storms. God is calling us to himself. Circumstances that we find ourselves in, these are never an indication outside of the fact that whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, but they are never a negative indication of his love for you or his care for you. The whole point is that he is with you and he wants to grow the depth of your faith. I think he's also leaving us without excuse today, friends. Because for the Christian, anybody else who asked us this question, if anybody else came to you and go like, well, why are you so nervous? You have every right to look them in the eye and go, YouTuber. Who are you? But when Christ asks us, he reminds us that we are not in relationship with some person of limited capacity. We are now children of the living God. Amen? And God is in our boat. And if he is in our boat, then the sovereign God of the universe appointed the storm that you're in. And in that moment, nothing can take you out of his hand. And there's nothing going on around you that can do anything to him. So he, now just listen, because some of you have taken your trial and you have made it the excuse as to why you're not following him. In fact, you're the one in the boat looking at him going, well, you're obviously not aware of the situation. And if you really loved me, you wouldn't be doing this. And until everything changes, I'm not going anywhere. Don't you love Jesus' gentle response? He doesn't say, you of little faith. He goes, oh, guys. I just love to picture this scene with Jesus smiling. You got little faith. You got little faith. But friends, truly, you need to think today as you encounter storms. You know, Christian maturity is the faith in the moment you're in, not without tears, not without being human, but to truly believe with all your heart, Jesus has got this. Amen? He's got it. Why does he got it? Because he does command the waves. I wish, this is where reading in Greek is a good thing. And there are different tellings of this story, but Jesus, when he got up, it says he got up and he rebuked the winds and the sea. You know, in Mark, it says this is what Jesus did. I guess you imagine. You got people huddled in. They're trying to hear what he says. Whipping storm. He says, oh, you little faith. Hush. That's what the word is. Hush. He rebuked the wind. Some of us, I mean, you've seen some of the gospel videos. Jesus stands in the boat. He reaches out to heaven. Be still. That's not what happened. He literally just went, hush. And instantly, the storm is gone. You cannot have a calm sea if there's a storm. Even in those videos, don't you know, Jesus says, be still, and everything kind of winds down. The boat quits rocking. The winds, just the clouds. Whoosh. Hush, nothing. Calm, boat not rocking. Little flotilla of people going, Hebrews 1, 2 through 3. In the last days, he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and he upholds all things by the word of his power. Friends, there are a lot of people who have weathered storms, but there is only one with the power to unmake them. The storm was gone because Jesus held every fabric of that storm together by his very word. And in one moment, hush meant cease to exist. Done. How many of you like to know that God can do that with any storm going on? Who's in your boat? Jesus is drawing us to a place where we understand he commands the waves. So all of that brings us to this last point, and it says in verse 27 there, the men were amazed and said, what kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Friends, the journey of faith, discipleship, getting in the boat, being brought to the end of yourself is always going to bring you face to face, if you're truly a believer, with who Jesus Christ is. Who he is. And this is the lesson. This is the same lesson every one of us has to learn over and over again. You ready? Here it comes. Jesus Christ is God. Amen? God is in your boat. God can take a nap in your boat. Just think about that for a second, because it's the last thing on earth you feel like you can do. But Jesus can. And Jesus is not sitting there judging you on your effort. He is not judging you on your sufficiency. He's not making a statement about your worth. He has already loved you to the uttermost. He is simply giving you an opportunity again to turn from you and turn to Him. And to have confidence in the midst of a storm, because it's completely under His power. Jesus Christ is God. And by the way, when you come to that point, don't think that your response is going to be, "Oh, I'm just free here in the middle of this hurricane." When you come face to face with God, you will actually come face to face with what the book of Proverbs says. It says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Some of you are scared of what might happen in your circumstances. Did I just tell you that? God is in your boat. The Lord of glory is closer to you and has real relationship with you. And He holds every molecule of your being together by the word of His power. Are you then glad that He's gentle and patient? How many of you have ever freaked out in a boat? Anybody freaked out in a trial? Yeah. And once again, Jesus is going to bring us to that place. Be still. Know who I am. Know who I am. I love what happened to Peter. Another great boat scene over in Luke 5. They went out on the lake. They hadn't caught anything all night. You remember the story. Jesus tells them, "Cast down your nets." And what happens when Peter pulls in the nets to shore? He turns and sees Jesus, and it says this. He fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." You see, you come face to face with Jesus and suddenly you're aware that that's God. And I maybe didn't perform well. Or maybe I've missed Him. So don't be surprised. And then the final admonition is this, just put your faith in Him. I love looking at these early pictures of the disciples because in my prideful mind, they seem a little flaky. You know, they end up doing stuff and I'm like, and I can pridefully read when Jesus looks at them and says, "How long have I been with you that you don't get it?" Do you guys remember what happened in the book of Acts? These same people, terrified out in a boat, stood face to face with the known powers of the world, stood for Christ, sang in prisons, rejoiced in beatings, shared the gospel in the midst of insanity, and stood for the Lord. Why? Because they had been trained who was in the boat. Friends, don't think that you have to grow up and be some awesome, mature believer before God's going to use you. He's always going to use you. But you know what He's after? Your faith. He wants you to be more convinced today that He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and He's got your storm. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank You so much that You sent Your Son Jesus and that He's in our boat. Lord, we heard testimony to someone who's been taken through a storm today, but I think of everybody who's in this room. I know just by knowing some of them, storms in the room, moments of trial, fearful places, far beyond our pay grade. God, in that moment, would we turn and would we smile to see You, not asleep in the sense of not aware, God, but at peace and at rest. Loving us, waiting for us to turn to You. So God, would we turn quicker? Would we row less? Would we be reminded that you are the God who loves us, who's with us, and is sufficient for our storm. And God, would you grow our faith? Would we trust in you this week? Would that be the bedrock of what's going on? Instead of talking about our life in terms of this has got to be done, or this is undone, or this is, would we talk in terms of faith? Oh God, grow our faith. And all God's people said, Amen.